Now, only seconds old, the exact time and cause of my death was already known.
The 1997 sci-fi movie Gattaca took place in a dystopian future. Every bit of everyday DNA that people leave behind, stray hairs, saliva on a coffee cup, can be analyzed and used against them.
I belong to a new underclass, no longer determined by social status or the color of your skin. We now have discrimination down to a science.
We're not quite there, but Heather Dewey Hagborg thinks we may be on our way. She's a visual artist who incorporates cutting-edge scientific tools into her work. In her latest project, she collects random hairs that she finds in public places and uses the DNA from them to make portrait masks of those anonymous people, people she's never met or seen. How close can she get to the way people really look? We were curious and asked Studio 360's Eric Malinsky to find out.
It's noon on Friday. I'm meeting Heather Dewey Hagborg at Penn Station.
Hey.
Penn Station is my least favorite place to be in New York City. It feels like a giant rat maze. But Heather loves coming here to collect loose hairs and even fingernails.
Jeez, this station looks so clean today. Last time I was here, it was just ripe with material.
I've never been so disappointed that Penn Station isn't disgusting.
We lurk around the trash cans and under the seats, and she ends up taking a few hairs from a sink in the ladies' room. I also brought a few hairs of my own. Not my own, but three hairs plucked from the head of Kurt Anderson. She doesn't know they're from Kurt.
Are these all from the same person?
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. They must have very dynamic hair.
I can confirm Kurt actually does have dynamic hair. We'll see if she can figure out what his face looks like from three hairs in a Ziploc bag. Heather uses a lab in downtown Brooklyn called GenSpace. It's located in a building that's so grimy and old, it's actually kind of cool. Most of the floors have been reclaimed by artists, except for the seventh floor, which belongs to scientists.
Now, this looks like a lab to me. Just test tubes and,
yes.
You know, vials and all these machines. I don't know what they do.
It is assuredly a lab. No doubt about it.
GenSpace is an open lab. Anyone can apply for membership. Sometimes Heather wants supervision from the scientists that run the lab, but most of the time she just works on her own, which shows how quickly genetics have progressed in the last decade.
I don't have to be a trained molecular biologist to be able to extract DNA. Mm-hmm. You know, it's more about precisely following a protocol, you know, like really sticking to the recipe.
Yeah, like so, in other words, if you can bake a cake, you can extract DNA.
Exactly.
She takes each hair out with a pair of tweezers.
So what I'm doing is I'm just cutting the tips off of these hairs and putting them in these microfuge tubes.
So the most DNA is in the follicle?
That's correct, because that has cells. So, you know, when you pull out a hair, there's like a little bit of skin stuck to it. Mm-hmm. So that's what we want.
She mixes the hairs with gel and puts the tubes in a vortexer, which shakes them up. It'll be hours before the hairs have completely dissolved. Each tube has a primer, which identifies a characteristic like eye color or gender. To complete a portrait, she has to repeat these steps 40 times. So to speed up the process, she asked me to tell our anonymous donor, Kurt Anderson, to swab his cheek and send the sample to the company 23andMe. They sent back a giant block of DNA numbers and letters, which broke down Kurt's ethnicity. Turns out, he's 2% Asian.
The 23andMe profile, they have like a million PCR reactions at once. And mine, we're going to have one PCR reaction.
Heather wrote the computer program which turns that string of DNA numbers and letters into a digital human face. Then she sends a schematic to a 3D printer which makes the mask out of sand and glue. Now remember, she's making portraits of complete strangers based on their DNA. And it made me wonder about the ethics of her project. So I visited Dr. Robert Klitzman, who's the head of the bioethics department at Columbia University.
As a researcher, I couldn't be collecting people's DNA without their knowledge, but as an art piece, I think it's provocative. I should say also at the moment, I don't think you can construct someone's face in 3D at the moment based on their genetics, but over time, within 10, 20 years, you'll be able to determine quite a bit about them.
Geneticists are still trying to figure out what genes make the human face, but they have made a lot of progress in predicting what diseases we might develop. And that's why Dr. Klitzman worries that we might be entering a Gattaca-like future.
The Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act or GINA, was passed by Congress a few years ago. So it's illegal to discriminate for health insurance with genetic information, but not for life insurance, disability insurance, or long-term care insurance.
Genetic discrimination could happen in the courtroom, schools, even relationships. Knowing that information will affect the way that people see us and the choices that we make.
With Huntington's disease, even if there's no treatment, someone may say, well, I want to know if I'm going to die at the age of 50. Maybe I won't have kids if I know I'm going to die at 50. It's not fair to the kids. So this is all coming at us like a tsunami, all this genetic information, and we've not yet begun to think about what it means, what we want to do with about it, what we should do about it.
Which is the point of Heather's project. Back at the lab, Kurt's hair finally dissolved into the gel. The last step was to create a bright ladder of DNA stripes.
Many times I've done this and gotten no results at all.
But this batch of hair follicles had fresh chunks of DNA.
So like sample one looks good, five is good. That's the one that you brought.
Oh, good.
The computer created four possible faces based on Kurt's DNA. Heather chose the one that she thought had a spark of life. A few months later, I brought Kurt to see his face.
Hello.
Hi. Are you Heather?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Kurt.
Did the mask look like Kurt? Sort of. I mean, I thought it captured his nose and mouth, but it was definitely not a portrait of him today.
It's the Matt Damon version of me.
It's certainly a younger version. Basically, the software generates kind of the 25-year-old you.
Uh-huh.
Because right now I don't have a way of determining age from the genetic samples.
Yeah. It's interesting. I have a life mask made when I was 25. We should compare them.
You're kidding.
No. No, and now, I mean, I have two daughters and no sons, and now I'm thinking, wow, it could be my son. My cloned son.
As she keeps going with this project, she knows that anyone can turn the tables on her.
When I run my hand through my hair on the subway, I have the decision, you know, am I going to shake this hair off of my fingertips and let it fall onto the ground in the subway where someone could potentially take it and learn something about me? Or do I want to get really paranoid about it and start, like, trying not to leave any genetic information behind? So I decide I'm going to donate this hair to whoever might come across and decide to grab it. You'll know that I have a strong likelihood of living to be 100. And a more increased risk of Alzheimer's.
For Studio 360, I'm Eric Molinsky.
And I'm Kurt Anderson. You can see a short video of me encountering my mask for the first time at studio360.org. Heather Dewey Hagborg's exhibition, Stranger Visions, is up all this month in New York City. How do you feel about an artist going around and collecting strangers' DNA? Maybe your DNA. Let us know at studio360.org.